X-15, number 2B.
Then I go on, and I suddenly think, well, she's talking about something quite different. Let's see what she says. She says, Christ is the true idea, voicing good, the divine message from God to man speaking to human consciousness. Well, that's something very different than just to say it's the divine spirit. Here it is, the true idea, a message from God to man, a message, you see, speaking to the human consciousness. Can you see that it's quite a different attitude? Here, she goes away and depicts perhaps what I would say Christ in absolute Christian science. Because absolute Christian science tells us of the relation between God and the idea, between God and man. So here she depicts Christ on a very different level and therefore must depict it very differently. Just as we said, in the microcosm you have the law of spontaneity, in the macrocosm you have the law of causality, and they are two completely different things, and yet they are the same, in the same realm, only looked at from a different standpoint. Or she says, Christ illustrates the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and man in his image. You see again, absolute Christian science, the relationship between God and man. In divine science, where we have no relationship, where we just oneness, she just depicts Christ as the divine spirit, the spirit of life, truth, and love. But when it comes to absolute Christian science, she has to define the Christ differently and says, I show you that the Christ is that which brings about the coincidence, the spiritual agreement, the unity, the Emmanuel of God and man. Or then suddenly we go further, and then we may read something like this, that Christ is the divine manifestation of God, which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. You see, well, that's something very different than to say Christ is the divine spirit, or to say that Christ is that which establish this coincidence between God and man. Now a completely different level, a completely different strata is touched, you see. You dig in and you dig in and you dig in always further until you come and say, Christ, on the level of Christian science, has that office of coming to the flesh and to destroy incarnate error. It's that self-error-rejecting power of the cybernator. So can you see that if we ask for one definition of the Christ, we can't have it. Can't have it. Because Christ is an idea, a cybernetic idea. And that cybernetic idea has many layers, many stratas, many levels, and many categories. And so only all together form the idea called Christ. But when we see the categories, we begin to understand now these things. Instead of getting cross with Mrs. Eddy and saying, well, either you mean this or you mean that, now which one is it? See, we begin to see the compound of it. See, the moment we touch cybernetics, we can no more be a atomist, but we must be a comprehensivist. We can no more be an atomist, one who only wants always to see one little dot of the infinite, an atom of the spiritual, a little part of the infinite. When we touch cybernetics, as you see, we only get through view when we are complete comprehensivist, which takes in the whole thing always in one view. In one view. And that's quite a different consciousness. See, that the in the beginning of Christian Science, going on for a long while, the Christian Scientist was not a spiritual atomist. He had a right thought. Give me a right thought. One right thought. That's an atom out of the infinite. The scientist, the true scientist, and science we have to explain as the contemplation of the infinite one, including all ideas, is a comprehensivist. He always goes out from the infinite one and never drops that standard. And therefore, idea is not something which is like an atom, like a point within the whole spiritual realm. Idea is always the whole. Always the whole. Which naturally, as a matter of fact, has led us to see that in our investigations of what ideas are, the ideas of the synonymous terms, we have made great mistakes. That we have somehow to re-examine how we use the term idea up to now. I'm in the same bunch. You see, we were talking today about that law, order, spirit are ideas of, law, power, action, guidance, intelligence were ideas of mind. It's not true. It's not true. We are teaching that up to last summer, but it's not true. They are only ideas. The most we can say is that there are ideas which are characteristic for mind, but not more than that, because they are not ideas of mind, because mind is all, the whole. And therefore, the idea of mind is the whole chart of mind. The ideas of spirit are the whole chart of spirit. How did we get into that habit? Well, I can see it, and I explained it step by step in Brown Ball. I don't want to do it now here. I just want to arouse the thought to the point that idea is something infinitely bigger than what we were thinking up to now. That each idea is a cybernetic idea. It's quite something interesting, you know. I talk about myself. I'm to be blamed among all them, because I was one among that group around Mr. Dolly who investigated the synonymous terms for the first time during the whole winter and made that list of ideas for ideas of mind, ideas of spirit and so on. And somehow we got into the habit, which was not right, of calling that list of mind ideas of mind. It's not right. There are perhaps ideas characteristic for mind, but not ideas of mind, because the infinite mind has only an infinite idea and cannot be restricted to some qualities like law or power or action or anything like that. It cannot. Why did we do that? And how did I come to see that this is not quite right? I was taking all, instead of studying the synonymous term again and seeing how they are characterized by certain terms, I had thought to myself, have I ever taken the term idea itself in the textbook and studied what she says about the term idea itself? And when I did that, and I wrote them out chronologically, I always write them out because I go forward and backward in the study. I have to have them in front of me. And I saw that there is not a single statement in the textbook where she would say that one of these terms which we have taken out is an idea of any of the synonymous terms. Not a single one. She doesn't say a single time that intelligence is an idea of mind. All what she says about intelligence is that it is a quality of mind, but not the idea of mind. And so I began to ask, well, what then is, by heaven's sake, idea? Can't Mrs. Eddy tell us bluntly what idea is? You see? Well, she says it's an image in mind. All right, mind seeing itself is always seeing the whole of mind, never anything less. And then, naturally, the whole thing precipitated itself this last summer, within 1 month together, everything about the term idea, about cybernetic, about divine logic and so on, to the point that I began to see, oh, that's it, you see, that we were right on the good track, that we were on a wonderful track, that our hypothesis was a wonderful working hypothesis, and led us finally to see now that idea is the whole of the chart as idea. It's a cybernetic sense of idea. Let me see this. Let me show this. What is the nature of idea? Well, the nature of idea is manifold. She would say, for instance, idea in regard to error. She would say truth idea is gathering beneath its wing the sick and the sinning. So truth idea has apparently something to do with the sick and the sinning. Has an office of handling the sick and the sinning. He says the idea bruises the head of lust. Can you see here she depicts idea on the level of Christian Science as that which handles the illusion, as that which handles everything that is wrong. But she also says that idea has another office. She says that the spiritual idea is clad with the radiance of spiritual truth. Now, what is it, idea? Either idea gathers the sick, or it's clad with, with spiritual truth. What is it? It's both. You see? Can you see now? I come back where I said, modern thought has freed itself from that old Greek philosophy which reigned up to now, that something is only something and cannot be something else at the same time. It can. That's the new era that's coming, the new consciousness of oneness that is coming. Here it says idea is that which deals with error, and at the same time it says idea is clad with truth, which for the ordinary human thinker excludes each one another. If an idea is clad with truth, it's truth, and then it does nothing but truth. Can you see that it's only a matter of level? On the level of Christian Science, we see idea can be defined as that which dissolves illusions. On the level of absolute Christian Science, we can see idea is that which is closed with the spiritual truth. Or, and there are many of these, she speaks about the workings of the spiritual idea shown by the healing of the sick and sinning, you see, Christian Science, and by manifesting the light which shines unto the perfect day, a positive sense. And it's the same thing. Or she shows how idea, well, I just didn't have time to show that. See, to show that an idea has not always the same form, that something can have at the same time many forms. You take red. Red can be at the same time a wavelength. a wavelength of the light which the mathematician can write out in a mathematical formula. That's red in the spectrum. For the physiologist, red is a certain electrical impulsion through the nerves. For us, or for the artist, it is a color, an impression called red and not green. For the spiritual mind of men, it may be a symbol for something spiritual. At the same time, the same thing can have different forms, and that's what we have to receive. Then we understand that an idea is not just one form, you see, but is at the very same time everything within the range of the chart. He says, the spirit gives the true mental idea. I want to show here how we are not right by just saying idea is spiritual. She says that it can even have the form of mentality, a mental idea. That it can has in itself that infinite ability to take on another form. Or she says, we must get the correct sense of the highest visible idea. We said an idea is invisible, but she says it's visible. That there is a highest visible idea. It can even translate itself into the form of visibility. She says that Jesus is the highest human concept of the divine idea. Now, even the better one is this. The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our Master. The idea can be even impersonated. So, again, see, I tried to show what she says, what idea is, and we begin to see that idea has different offices, different forms. Yeah, we can even say idea has a dynamic structure. It's not just a single thing. It can be a whole dynamic structure, or idea can always build up a whole structure. She says, God expresses in men the infinite idea forever developing itself. So, developing means that it changes its form. Forever developing itself. An idea can never be an idea and that's fixed. It's constantly developing, broadening itself. You have the whole breadth of the chart, rising higher and higher. You have the heights of the chart, rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. Can you see that idea is just constantly building structures, breadth and heights? Or that she says, mind presents the idea of God first in light, the idea of God first in light, then it changes its form, second in reflection, third in immortal forms of beauty and goodness. What has beauty and goodness to do with light? And it's the same thing. And so I think it's quite interesting to make a good analysis of all what the textbook says about ideas. Because then one begins to see really that what she meant is that the idea of God is not, or an idea of God is not just an atom in the universe of spirit, a one idea, an isolated single idea. Do I get the right idea? Well, it's right if it is always a comprehensive idea which is including within itself, science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, including within itself the world, the Christ, Christianity, and science, which is including within itself the self-organizing concept of this science, the self-regulating concept of it. That's the idea of God. And so we begin to see something which the world begins to see, namely that everything is structure, that we cannot have an atomistic sense of anything, but that everything is structure. A little, the tiniest part of matter is structure, not something. And so everything is structure. And that's a new concept that has come up in natural science during the last 30, 40 years. And this afternoon I want to show you quickly as I can, first, how from the very beginning of the thinkers, that way back in Greece, the concept of idea has risen to the concept of a cybernetic idea as structure. All right, we stop here.